We want to welcome all the virtual members of Columbine United Church. It is so good to have all of you here with us. Those of you who haven't been able to make it to church today, you're out celebrating the 4th of July weekend. Those of you who across the United States watch us virtually, as well as those of you who are on the other side of the pond, you watch us, but especially we are on the 4th of July weekend. We want to give a huge welcome to all the men and women in uniform, those of you who are serving our country to make us safe and free. We give you huge thanks. Let's welcome these folks with a warm Columbine welcome. Our scripture passage this morning is just one verse, Luke 12:46. Listen for God's word as it comes to us today in one verse. Jesus says, "From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded." Now, I want to read that again, and I want you to allow that to kind of sink into you. From everyone to whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one to whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. May God bless these words now as I seek to try to apply them to our lives. The sermon title is called Great Expectations, Great Expectations. Hey, it's the 4th of July weekend. Happy 4th of July. Isn't this weekend so much fun and the fat of the summer? People are getting together tomorrow for barbecues and fun times. All of us are going to go find a place to watch some fireworks. I just love the 4th of July. You know, one of the things I love about 4th of July is it gives us a chance to kind of take stock of everything that we're proud of in our country. I love the fact that there's so many of us who are wearing kind of red, white, and blue, kind of waving the flag. I just love this. I'm kind of a patriotic guy myself. So to sit back and love these things on the 4th of July is special to me. In fact, to kind of get ready for today's sermon, I started making a list of everything that I'm grateful about this country, everything that I love about this country. And as I kind of go through my list, I want you to think about what are the things that you love about this country? What are the things that you're grateful for? You know, at the top of my list is I'm grateful for the Rocky Mountains. I love the Rocky Mountains. This is the picture of Grand Tetons. I love the Grand Tetons. Is that not the Grand Tetons? Well, because the Grand Tetons are a part of the Rocky Mountain Range. How do you not know that is? The Rocky Mountains extends from Mexico all the way up into Canada. You've got to learn your geography. But, you know, more than just, you know, the Rocky Mountains, I love it as it goes through, you know, Yellowstone National Park, Glacier National Park. I love all the national parks. You know, I love the fact that the Sierra Mountains in California, I love the Cascades in Oregon, I love the Olympics in Washington, been through all these different mountain ranges, been through the Smoky Mountains back east. I love our mountain ranges. I love our oceans. I love the Pacific Ocean. I've been up and down through the Pacific Ocean. I love all the Pacific Ocean beaches. The East Coast, I love the East Coast. I've been, you know, all throughout the East Coast, kind of looking at different aspects of the ocean there. I love the Gulf of Mexico, the beautiful waters of the Gulf of Mexico. I love the Gulf of Mexico. But even more than just those waterways and those oceans, I love, like, the Great Lakes. I'll never forget the first time I saw one of our Great Lakes. I thought I was standing on the edge of an ocean. People kept on telling me, it is an ocean. I said, no, it's a lake. No, I remember seeing them, how vast they were. You know, I love our rivers. I love the Platte River. I love the Arkansas River. I love fishing in all the different rivers across the United States. I love the water and the waterways in the United States. I love the Big Ditch. How many of you have seen the Grand Canyon? Yeah, a lot of you have seen the Grand Canyon. Is it not one of the most spectacular things you've ever seen? You know, I've never been to Canyon de Chelly. Canyon de Chelly is on my bucket list. How many of you have seen Canyon de Chelly? Yeah, you know, okay, so only a few of you have gone to see it. It's got to be on your bucket list. The people I've talked to said that it is just as inspiring as the Grand Canyon. Great Sand Dunes National Monument, or National Park now. How many of you have been to Great Sand Dunes? Yeah. If you have not been to the Great Sand Dunes, it's only about a five-hour drive here from Denver. To see the Great Sand Dunes is like, for me, is inspiring to see the Grand Canyon, to see how nature has formed those sand dunes. Or see, watch how the wind and the rivers formed the Grand Canyon. I love the natural wonders of this nation. You know, I love our freedoms. All these freedoms that we take for granted. You know, for me, it's every single Sunday that I get to stand up here and practice the freedom of speech. You know, that we get to practice the ability to worship whenever we want, wherever we want. We get to practice that great freedom. You know, I love the freedom to be able to pass from state to state and not have to stop and show a visa. You know, what is the freedom that you love, that you enjoy, that you appreciate, that oftentimes we take for granted? You know, I love the freedoms. You know, every time when I travel outside of the country, I come back and the guy at the passport agent stamps your passport and says, "Welcome back to the United States." It's like, amen, brother and sister, because you're aware of the great freedoms that that the country offers to us. You know, for me, the other thing I love our education system. I love our college and universities. I think this, you know, the young people that graduate from the college and university, you know, they form the economic backbone of our country. Now, when my kids graduated from college, that kind of made me a little bit frightened. You're the economic backbone of the future of our country. But you know, the amazing thing is as my young adult kids actually step in to their first career jobs, and they begin putting together a vision of what they want their career to be like and where they want to go with it, it makes me excited for them. And what has prepared them for this is all the college that they've gone to and the universities. You know, I love the fact that people come from around the world to go to school here in the United States. I love our colleges and universities. I love our medical centers. You know, the medical centers here in the United States are simply amazing. You know, the three of us spend a lot of time in hospitals visiting different people. And I got to tell you, if you haven't been to a hospital, you need to go to visit and to see how amazing they are. To see how amazing they are. These centers, you know, the Anschutz Medical Center, people come from all over the United States to go to the Anschutz Medical Center. You know, the National Jewish, you know, people, it's ranked the number one hospital for respiratory issues. People come from around the world to go to National Jewish. What is the name of the hospital in Rochester, New York? Mayo Clinic. I've been missing that all morning long. Mayo Clinic. People come from around the world to go to Mayo Clinic. You know, we take these hospitals for granted until you need them. And then when you need them, when you walk into these amazing centers, we should be so grateful that we have these centers of health. We should be so grateful we have these centers of health. I'm grateful for our men and women in uniform. You know, I don't think we can be grateful enough. I don't think we can sing their praises enough. These men and women who give their lives not only so that we might be free, but so that other people might be free. You know, they're serving in countries around the world to protect them and to serve them. And I just cannot thank the men and women in uniform for this country. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's do this. I always like doing this. If you're a veteran, why don't the veterans stand up? I always think we ought to do this. If you're a veteran, please stand up. Yeah, baby. Love it. Love it. Love it. Very cool. Very cool. You know, I love our politics. Seriously. Seriously, I love our politics. It's a little on the crazy side right now. And it's the crazy that makes it kind of fun, right? To see everybody kind of argue with one another and kind of get into it with one another. But, you know, just think about our political system. It allows for political debate. It allows for the exchange of ideas. And right now we have two great visions of how this country should be run, and they're vying for one another. You know, politics come from the words polis, which means city. And, you know, we're not just to sit back and allow someone else to run our country. We're supposed to be running our country. And polis means that we get involved in the politics of our nation. And think about this. Talk about a freedom. In November, you have the freedom to go vote. to vote without anybody keeping you or with a gun to your back, depending upon how you vote. And in January, I've heard that in January, depending upon how the vote goes, there's going to be a mass exodus to Canada. We're going to overpopulate Canada. You know, but depending upon how you vote, the baton is going to be passed from one president to the next, and not a single shot will be fired, and there'll be not a single tank that is going to be going through the street. It'll be a peaceful thing. It'll be an expression of the majority vote of the United States of America. I love our politics. I don't like our political commercials, but I love our politics. I love our problems. I love the fact that we have significant problems in this country. I love the fact that we can't figure out what to do with immigration and immigration reform. I love the fact that that we can't figure out what to do with health care and health care reform. I love the fact that we can't figure out what to do with guns and gun laws. You know why? Because it means that we're in a significant debate with one another about issues that matter. You're not just at home watching silly TV, but you're really wrestling with some significant issues that matter, that shape the life of our country and that shape our lives together. I love our problems. So those are the things that I love about the United States. What are the things that you love about the United States? You know, because the key thing is that do we just get to bask in these things? Do we just get back to say, whoa, thank goodness that this is for us? Or is there something else that is required of us? So that's why I chose the scripture passage to be read this morning. I mean, just think about now, given the fact that those are the things that I am grateful for, that I think we are grateful for, now pay attention to this verse. To whom much has been given, much will be required. And from the one whom much has been entrusted, even more will be demanded. To whom much has been required, to whom much has been given, much will be acquired. To whom much has been trusted, even more will be demanded. Who are these people that are the much? Who are the people that have been much? Yeah, Heidi is right. We are the people. We are the much that has been given. And in the fact that much has been given to us, God's going to require certain things of us. And even if it's more than required, God demands that certain things be required of us. And as Christian citizens, we have a foot in both worlds. We are a citizen of the kingdom of God, and we are citizens of the United States. And as we think about what has been required of and what has been demanded, and we think about these two nations, we have to make sure that one does not trump the other. What did you think I was going to say, for gosh sakes? You know, I'm not going to allow that word to be hijacked, because it's a great word, that we have the kingdom of God. We cannot allow one to trump the other. The kingdom of God cannot be trumped. The kingdom of God belongs to us as people of faith. And then we have to understand what it is that God requires of us, that God demands of us, especially as we stand on the eve of the 4th of July. So my wife and I, as we were driving home from the mountains, she asked me what you're preaching on, and I told her. And I said, Phoebe, let's come up with a list of things that we think that God requires of us, that God demands of us. We came up with a pretty lengthy list. I said, no, I only have time for three. What are three things? What are three things that we believe that God requires of us and God demands? And this is what we came up with. This is our three things. The first thing is God requires that we be gracious, that we be full of gratitude. From the moment our feet hit the floor in the morning to the moment we get in bed at night, we need to be grateful. We need to be grateful for everything this wonderful country has given to us. We need to be grateful for the spouses, our partners, our husbands and wives, these people that we've chosen to live with. We need to be grateful for them. We need to be grateful for our kids and for our family, for our friends and for our extended family. We need to be grateful for our aging parents and the responsibility we have to take care of them. We need to be grateful for the men and women in uniform, as I said. You know, we need to be grateful for the immigrants that are in our midst. And I'm going to say this because, you know, that this is a huge thing in our country right now, is that we don't always agree about what to do with this. You know, and I think that the three of us as pastors stand very clearly on this, that the Bible does not waffle about how we are to care about and be grateful for the immigrant in our midst. Because the Bible doesn't make any distinction between legal and illegal immigrants. Justin and I taught a class on this earlier in the spring, and we showed how clearly the Bible lays it out. We need to be grateful for them and grateful for the great heritages that they bring into our country. We need to be grateful for them. And here's the big thing about gratitude. It begins with you. It begins with you. You know, we can talk about we need to be grateful, but really, we never get there. We don't get to that corporate sense of being gracious unless it starts with you. You've got to find a place in your life where you need to practice gratitude. Where do you need to be grateful? Think about it today. Think about it as you get together with your picnic friends and family. Where do you need to be grateful? For your health, for your well-being. Where do you need to be grateful? Phoebe and I talked about that you have to be compassionate. It's the bedrock of who we are. Jesus taught about compassion at every turn of the road. It was the bedrock of his teaching. You know, Jesus taught when they asked him, what is the greatest commandment? And he came with two commandments. And these two commandments should be memorized by you. They should be on the back of your eyeballs. They should be on the back of your eyelids. So the first thing you see when you close your eyes are these two great commandments. And I'm going to say them, and I want you to say them with me because I want you to know them. The two great commandments are love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now say these with me because you know them. Love the Lord your God with your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You know, Brian Snyder, one time he talked with me about walk-around knowledge, that we need to have kind of a walk-around knowledge about what it means to be a Christian. This is one of these walk-around knowledges because it's all about compassion. You know, Jesus taught about compassion through the two great parables, the parable of the Good Samaritan and the parable of the prodigal son. Thank you that you were at the first service because I just missed that completely. The parable of the prodigal son. And in Jesus' great summa, the greatest thing that he taught, his sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, he repeatedly talks about compassion. Repeatedly talks about compassion. We need to be compassionate people. We need to be compassionate to the crazy boss that we work with. Don't say anything. Don't say anything. We need to be compassionate to the crazy coworker. We need to be compassionate to our aging parents. We need to be compassionate towards our spouse. We need to be compassionate towards our kids. We need to be compassionate towards our enemies. This is taught throughout the New Testament, how to be compassionate to our enemies. Well, again, what does it mean to be compassionate to the immigrant in our midst? That is such a hot debate right now. And it's going to be a hot debate as we go into the political season, if you will. You have to remember what it means to be compassionate. And here's the key thing about compassion. It begins with you. It begins with you. You know, I talk about, again, that corporate sense of we must be compassionate. But we don't get to that we sense of being compassionate unless you are compassionate. You have got to find that place in your heart where you're able to extend grace and mercy and forgiveness to other people. It's easy to come in here in church and hear me speak about this. It's easy even for me to speak about it. It's even harder for me to live it and for you to live it when we get out there. But it begins with you. You've got to find that sense of compassion. Where do you need to share compassion with somebody else? Phoebe and I talked about generosity. This country has afforded us so many things. There is so much abundance of wealth that we have. All you need to do is travel to a third world country, and you will realize how much wealth we have in this country. It's one of my greatest lessons I learned when I was in Nicaragua with a group here from the church. The second poorest country in the southern hemisphere is Nicaragua. And we go down there to build toilets, outhouses. We go down there to build wells so people can actually have water there in their neighborhoods. And they don't have to travel these long distances to get water. And when you're going down there into Nicaragua, you realize how wealthy we are. Because all we need to do is turn on a spigot and water comes out. Flush a toilet and waste disappears. You want to talk about abundance? We are wealthy people beyond imagination. I'll never forget one time when my son Kyle was a little guy. We were driving home, and he said, "Daddy, we're so poor." I said, "Kyle, we are wealthy beyond imagination. How are we wealthy, Dad? You're driving in a car, not a horse-drawn carriage. We're wealthy because you have your brother and sister. You have a mom and a dad. We're so wealthy. We have an abundance. And God expects, God requires, God demands that we will be generous." You know, one of the things that Justin leads the congregation in is generosity. And the reason why we teach about generosity and generosity with your time, your talent, and your treasure is because we hoard these things. We hold on to these things. We hunch our shoulders around them. We grab a hold of them. And one of the reasons why it's so important to talk about generosity is because it teaches us how to open up. How to open up our bodies, how to open up our souls. And we teach it here at church because, yeah, we need to turn on the lights. We need to make sure the sanctuary is cool. Amen. Thank you, Justin and Tag, for figuring out how to cool the sanctuary down. We need to pay the bills. We need to have a mortgage. No, we don't have a mortgage. It just dawned on me. We don't have a mortgage. Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's right. That's right. Wow. Talk about freedom. Freedom! No mortgage. But it's more than just paying the bills. We practice generosity in here because you're given to the mission agencies of the church that reach out into the community. And by doing these things, it opens up your being. It opens up your heart. Because by being generous here at church, and what happens? You become generous out in your daily life. And that's really what we're all about here, is practicing in here what really needs to happen out there in the world. Here's the key thing about generosity. It begins with you. You need to be generous. You know, I can talk again about that corporate, we need to be doing these things, but we can only get to that corporate sense of we need to do these things unless you do these things. You need to be generous. You need to fill out a pledge card. You need to give to the church. You need to give to agencies out in our communities. You need to be generous with your feelings and emotions. You need to be generous about forgiveness. You. And I include myself in that. You know, when I actually preached myself, I should be sitting out here as well. Because I'm addressing all of us. But it begins with you. It begins with you. And these are just three things that we came up with. This is all I have time to talk about. Gratitude, compassion, and generosity. And really, the list goes on and on. If I had all the time in the world, I'd talk about that we need to be people of vision. We need to be peacemakers. We need to be courageous. We need to be resilient. You know, it's not just because I want to preach on these things. It's because God requires it of us. That God demands it of us. And for me, this is why I find it so significant that we're going to celebrate communion today. Because in communion, we're reminded really of what God requires of us. You know, as we get ready to celebrate the 4th of July, it's so important to set aside the firecrackers and the fireworks and the barbecue and to really think about what God requires of us, because God has given to us the grace and mercy of His Son, Jesus Christ. And what does God require of us? When we take communion, we are reminded that what God requires of us is our very lives. Our very lives. Amen.
Let us join our hearts in prayer. Gracious God, we come before you this morning with humble hearts. We come with gratitude because we have the freedom to gather in this space week after week to worship you in freedom and in truth. And God, we are also thankful that people have the freedom and truth to worship in synagogues, temples, and in the great outdoors, singing your praises. So God, lead us to be people of gratitude, thankful for our country, our loved ones, and the world. Because God, before anything, we are citizens of your kingdom. So God, claiming that we are citizens of your kingdom, lead us to live lives of compassion, reaching out to the stranger, the immigrant, the alien, and our enemies, and allow us to live with compassion, offering a smile, a hug, sending cards to those who are ill, taking a hot meal, or simply sitting with one who is suffering, holding his or her hand. And God, lead us to be people of generosity. When we think of generosity, we so often think of the way we spend our money, but God, we know it is so much more. So we know that not only do you encourage us to be generous, but you require it. You even demand us to be generous people. Generous with our time, our talents, and our treasures, but also generous with our compassion, generous with our thankful hearts, loving all that come in to our lives, loving the stranger, and caring for this great creation that you have given us to live in. So God, we hear that you have demanded us to be compassionate to all those who live on this earth and all that you have created. And we are grateful, God, that to help us along this journey, you have given us your Son, Jesus Christ, who we claim as our Lord and Savior. And sometimes what he demands is difficult, but we know that we do not walk alone, that we have a constant companion to do the work and to offer the love you have set before us. So now let us bind our prayers together, praying together the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.